No.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tech Wizard panel discussion. With us today, we have amazing traders. We have David Keller of Star Charts. We have Ollie from Rightside Trading. We have Rob from Apex Tech, and we have Doc from Ready Set Trade, and yours truly, Anka Metcalf of Trade Out Loud, and I am going to be your moderator right now. Before we begin and we start our trading discussion, I would like to take a little time to introduce you to our traders. And I am going to start with David. David, can you please share a little bit of information about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So pleasure to be on the panel with all of you guys and look forward to hearing from what everyone has to share. I'm based in the Seattle area. I'm the chief market strategist at StockCharts.com. Before that, I was at Fidelity Investments in Boston, where I ran the technical research department. And I started my career in New York at Bloomberg, where I spent most of my time at hedge funds in the New York area, helping people incorporate technical analysis into their decision-making process. So for me, I enjoy and have always enjoyed the technical analysis process, how to use it for the long term, but also for the short term and how those timeframes relate.
That is very interesting. Thank you so much, David. Wally, you have the mic. Let us know a little bit about yourself and where traders can find you and a little bit about your company and what you do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. So yes, my name is Wally Olopade. I have a background in accounting, studied accounting in college, was in the finance accounting industry for about 17 years. And then about after the financial crisis, I remembered even with all my knowledge of accounting and all that kind of stuff, it didn't really help me with preparing myself for the financial crisis. And that's when I started looking into the stock market. My biggest concern, and I was very skeptical when I first started, was how can you really tell if a market is going to go up or not? Is this just all manipulation? Long story short, it was intriguing enough that I wanted to study it because my biggest goal was I didn't want to have to face another 2008 financial crisis again and not know what to do. And so with all my accounting knowledge, understanding fundamental analysis, I realized that there were certain stocks that just moved, even though my fundamental analysis was not saying that it should be moving. And so that's when I came into technical analysis. And when I saw that, you know, technical analysis gave you a different perspective on stocks that would actually do well from the ones that are not, very, very intrigued with that. Studying that, devoted my whole life to it, really, from that point on. And needless to say, that's what I do now. And so my whole thing is, the reason why we call our company Right Side Trading is to focus on the right side of a chart. What's going to happen, anticipating price movements going forward, not necessarily what's happened in the past. So we call ourselves Right Side Trading because it's all about trying to make money on the right side of the chart. And that's what we teach. That's what we perfected using technical analysis.
Amazing, Wally. Thank you so much. Rob, can you give us a quick intro about yourself and your company?
Okay, sure. Thanks. I started programming at 12. And by the year, I guess 30, I started to get into options. I was introduced to options, which I thought was fantastic. It was amazing that you could make money off of the derivative of the base price of the product. But I noticed at the time that the world was starting to move towards HFT and AI was just starting to play a role in algorithmic trading. And I really wanted to apply what I knew about programming into that. And as the years went by, I found that there was a very small cabal of programmers, such as BlackRock and Goldman that kind of cornered the market on algo trading. And you also have, of course, some of the major algo trading houses. So what I tried to do, what I started off with Apex, really it started about 10 years ago, was to devise something to democratize algorithmic trading and allow the masses to really compete on their level. Because right now I can trade 60 to 120 stocks at once. I want that in the hands of everybody. And that's where Apex started. And right now we're pretty close to getting that out into everybody's hands. It's really amazing to watch this thing trade. And it's almost like the ghost in the machine. I'm sitting here watching it make trades according to logic that I wrote using RSI and stuff that I've invented, like volatility weighted average sentiment and volume histogram price weighting and anything I can imagine. You can sit down with this and write your own stuff and really compete. That's what I think is missing out. So I'm excited to get this out to the world. That's it.
That's awesome, Rob. Really amazing. Okay, thank you so much. Now, Doc, can you give us a little intro and also a little bit about what you do and your company?
Sure. Thank you, Anka, and welcome everybody on the panel. Well, I was your typical engineering project product manager for a massive telecom company lost inside the corporate world when I attended an options webinar. And 18 months later, I turned in my notice and traded from home. So that was all back in 2006. So I've been, in a way, social distancing for the past 15 years. I'm used to that. But what I found was when people know that you know how to trade, all of a sudden they will beat a path to your door. And so almost at gunpoint, I got into the options and futures coaching business just to help people. And I found that I really enjoyed it and was good at it. So really, this is what we do, but we've put a little bit of a twist on it lately that I've started a company with my son called Ready, Set, Trade. And our job, our purpose in life is to help people start to cash flow, start to get positive returns. And we're shooting for something very modest, which is $100 a day, which I think is attainable for everybody, almost with very, very small accounts as well, too. So that is, we've been in play now for about the last 3 weeks and having a great time with our first customers on board.
Thank you so much, Doc. So in a way, we're all social distancing. As traders, we don't really have a hard time social distancing because we are isolated creatures, and we spend so much time, you know, just into charts. All right, a little bit about myself and what I do. So my name is Anka Metcalf. I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, and I have been a professional independent trader for the last 17 years, focused on equities and futures. My specialty is day trading futures, only in the first 2 hours in the morning, and swing trading stocks. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking, and I own TradeOutLoud.com, which is an education firm that is specialized in, it's a trading firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities markets. I'm also the designer of a proprietary trading system, and the reason why I'm saying I'm the designer is because I cannot take credit for it. Technical analysis has been there forever. I had just adapted it to my own personal account and to my own personal liking. I specialize in high velocity moves, and I like to analyze the very high time frames where I'm getting triggers from, and I incorporate them with my smaller time frames where I'm getting the price velocity. I'm getting that institutional participation from the higher time frames, and I'm taking advantage of that in the first 2 hours in the morning. My system is actually very simple. It is based on price support resistance, but I am focused on the 7 layers of price support resistance, not just supply and demand. Over the years, because I come from investing background, and then for the longest time, I have been a very active day trader in stocks, I have perfected trigger times that are applicable to the New York trading session. And I find that oftentimes, in fact, with a rate of almost 90%, these trigger times are right on the dot. So the market is working in a certain tempo, and I find that these trigger times that are not many, they're about 3 to 4 trigger times through the morning session, tend to capture the rotation in price, which combined with the higher time frame trigger, it definitely creates that that high velocity move. I'm also paying attention to precise price zones, because there are 4 precise zones on charts where price on shorter time frame is more prone to reaction. Also, chart synchronicity and divergency, relative strength and relative weakness. And some traders may think, well, if you trade futures, you basically trade the mini S&P. And that's not the case, because I'm coming from stock trading background, and I'm coming from investing background. background and I'm coming from a day trading background and swing trading background as well, I come to learn that you need to be very selective when it comes to synchronicity and divergency and relative strength and relative weakness, because even though the indices tend to move into a synchronized manner, sometimes there are stocks or sectors under the specific index that have relative strength compared to the other sectors. So for instance, just a quick example, if let's say we're having earnings from Google and Microsoft on the same day and they have positive reaction to the tape, and we're having the price ascending higher, then obviously NASDAQ is going to have the upper hand, and NASDAQ is going to have that relative strength and that velocity to move to targets with ease compared to the Dow, because Dow is probably not going to have that influence. Russell is not going to have that influence. They're probably, if they're going to be in a set target, probably they're going to start ascending higher. But NASDAQ is, because it will have relative strength, it will have the power to push higher. And this is a little bit about myself and what I do. And we're going to jump to the next question. And David, I am going to start with you. What is your favorite asset class to trade and why?
You know, it's almost like asking your favorite child. But given that there are plenty that I enjoy. So, you know, for me, ETFs are kind of where I tend to be oriented, although my background is really more with equities. And so most of my time, especially at Fidelity, it's a very equity-oriented shop. And so, you know, spend a lot of time on our trading desk just helping the traders think about how to be filling positions over the course of the day using short-term swing trading mechanisms. But at the end of the day, I find for me, in thinking about the big picture, looking at a series of ETFs and the access that you have, the capability that an individual investor that we all have now versus what we did 20 years ago to access certain markets is pretty remarkable. I don't trade a lot of the leveraged ETFs only because my time frame is beyond a couple days, to which I'm not a huge fan of holding those. But if you're a short-term trader, the leverage that you have, the ability to apply without facing some of the consequences you would have had to face years ago, I think is pretty remarkable. I think the challenge when I was learning to invest, this is in, early 2000, I think the challenge is you would have a certain opinion. You would have a sense of, here's what I think is going to happen. And then you would have difficulty. A lot of times it was, all right, what can I trade that would help me to take advantage of that pattern that I just had figured? And it would always be this sort of struggle to figure it out. And I think for me, the ease of ETFs, the transparency, the liquidity, and just the choices, just the menu that we have to order from is bigger now than it is ever before. So as a trader for my own investing, I find them to be incredibly valuable. And the fact that you can bet on things like the VIX and others that you never could before is pretty awesome. There's very few things that you can't trade through some sort of ETF-like structure. So I think that's great. And I would then also finish with, I think in some ways, unfortunately, that's also the downside of that transparency and that ease of use, is I think a lot of people end up getting caught using ETFs or using ETF-like products that they're not super familiar with. So you start getting K-1s and you're not really certain why you're getting them. And it's because you're trading a commodity ETF that has that sort of structure. Or you're trading leveraged ETFs. You're not really understanding the relationship between, when you go past the day, you're all of a sudden becoming very disconnected from the price series over time and the movements in that ETF, because it's based on daily returns. And so I think there are a lot of unintended consequences. And with commodity ETFs, you have the rollover and everything. So I think there are a lot of unintended consequences that I wish investors and traders in particular learned more about, more better equipped to at least be aware of some of those challenges. But even with those weaknesses, even with those challenges, I still would say, given anything, I trade a basket of ETFs, because there's very little things I could not get exposure to, from equity indexes to global markets to asset classes to sectors and industries. It's pretty well capability.
That's awesome. Okay, Wally, what about your asset class, and what do you prefer to trade and why?
Yeah, for me, definitely equities. And Long story short is I started off with somebody telling me trade options and didn't understand how to figure out when a stock is going up or down. Blew my account 2 times with options. And then I heard that it was better to trade futures, day trade futures. So I went into day trading futures, didn't know what I was doing there. Blew my account on that one too. So after blowing my account 3 times, I just had a really bad taste for options. I had a really bad taste for futures. And when I decided to start really getting serious and trying to really figure out what to do, I realized trading stocks was much, much a slower pace, which fit my style. But not only that, I think as time went on, I started realizing that, you know, we all say, at least you hear a lot of people talk about how they want to follow the institutions. They want to follow institutions. So logic just made me start thinking. I said, well, these institutions, what are the type of stocks they invest in? And I realized that a lot of them invest in stocks in the Dow, they invest in the stocks on the NASDAQ 100. And so I said, you know what, if this is what the big institutions are invested in, then and it's safe enough for them because there's liquidity there. You don't have to worry about too much of price manipulations with, like they do on penny stocks, all those pump and dumps. And I said, why not just stick with where the big institutions are probably hanging out? What are the stocks that they buy? And I realized that, you know, the stocks on the Dow, the stocks on the S&P 100, the stocks on the NASDAQ 100, those are kind are the ones that they focused on. And so the more I started doing that, the more I started seeing a more compatible way of being successful in the market. And then I also realized that, you know, unlike the penny stocks that I was trying to focus on or the lower price stocks that I was focusing on back then, I realized that, you know, if Apple moves, you know, 5%, 7%, it's not because some guy on YouTube that has 100,000 followers is saying, hey, buy Apple. And that's why Apple moved that way. If Apple moved 5%, 7%, it's because institutions are probably behind it. And that was the logic that I started off with. And I started realizing, you know, the Apples, the Caterpillars, the Teslas, these are not stocks that moves simply by a pump and dump kind of situation. And the other thing I realized was that, you know, there's a lot of, once you understand technical analysis, you can see the patterns when the accumulation is beginning. You know, very rarely would a stock just gap up minus earnings or some type of acquisition. Very rarely would they just gap up overnight. Okay. You will usually see the patterns. If you pay attention to the right type of technical analysis, you'll see the patterns of the accumulation taking place, or if it's ready to go down and they start distributing, you start seeing those patterns and you have enough ample amount of time to kind of position yourself on the right side of that. And so once I started realizing that and got really, really good at just seeing which stocks are beginning to move based on technical analysis, which ones are beginning not to move or just staying dominant and not doing anything, it just became my weapon of choice, so to speak. And so for that reason, I love trading, you know, stocks on the Dow. I'll trade any stock on the Dow. I'll trade any stock on the NASDAQ 100. I'll trade any stock on the S&P 100. And that's kind of like where I hang out now.
Thank you so much, Wally. It makes so much sense. All right, Rob, what is your favorite asset class and why? Rob, I think you're muted.
How about now?
Okay. Yes. You're... Okay. So okay. I'm going to repeat the question. What is your favorite asset class to trade and why?
Okay. My favorite asset class is, at the moment, is equities. And I'll tell you just a little bit of the history with Apex. When I started the early version of it, we launched with, it's interesting what Wally said, because we launched with the penny stock market. And man, was that an exercise. I got my you-know-what handed to me over about 2 years. This automated trading system actually did a little better than break even, which kind of surprised me at the end of the day. But I got a sort of a school of hard knocks lesson about things like front running and marking the close and pump and dumps. And I could just keep going and going. And the market makers were like totally against me, but I stuck with it and I wanted to continue with equities. It made perfect sense. But the lesson was to trade a market. It's not so much the asset class, it's that the market is liquid. That's what's important. That's what I discovered. So you're trading futures, for instance, and that's a direction I'm probably going to start pointing Apex into because of the huge advantage that you have to trade on a 24 by, I think, 6 days a week, right? I think you get 1 day off.
Uh-huh. Now you're talking, Rob.
Yeah. It really makes a lot of sense. It really makes a lot of sense. So in the here and now, when we switched over from the penny markets over to NASDAQ, because that's what we're trading at the moment, the liquidity in the market was insane. insane. I was used to getting a few ticks a minute to now I'm getting 3 or 4 or 5 ticks a second. So we had to really revamp things and change a lot of our legacy coding to keep up with this. It was quite, it took about a year and a half to get this thing to, compute several tens of thousands of formulas in about 250 milliseconds. And what it's doing at that moment is it's looking back, just like you talked about with relative strength, et cetera. It looks back the past few minutes, the past few days. It takes a look at the volume histogram going back in different time cycles to see where true support and resistance was gathering. It uses all of this in that brief instant to make that decision and course correct. So this is what's taken years to get to this point. And the next jump, going back to your original question about asset classes, the next jump will probably be futures. And then maybe even after that, we're going to start looking at currencies. But right now we can play, as I talk to you right now, I've got about 40 positions that it's managing, including prospects it's trying to get into. I'm very happy with what I'm looking at. It's trading very, very well right now. And we have the capacity to go up to about 90. By the end of the summer, we want to get to 300. And when we get to this to commercial level, we'll have 3,000. We want to be able to handle all the markets, including emerging markets, and have this thing trade the world, but on a 24/6 basis. So to answer your question, basically the asset class that is liquid, that's the one I'm interested in.
Of course, liquidity is all about market participation. So we all have that fluidity in the move if we have the liquidity. So thank you so much, Rob, for your input. And I'm going to jump to you, Doc, and I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite asset class to trade and why?
Sure, Anka. Anybody that has ever seen the movie City Slickers knows that you've got to find your one thing. And that's the one thing I heard a long time ago, and I've really kind of put to use here, is that you end up finding your one thing because that's the thing that gives you that rage to master, as Brett Steenbarger always says. So that for me is options. And options was the asset class that allowed me to quit my job and, you know, go independent. Now, what's different about that, though, I think everybody has to find their own way of doing it. As somebody that I respect said a long time ago, options gives you dozens of ways to profit, but there's literally hundreds of ways to lose with them, as most people have found out. So you kind of have to find your own way through them. You have to find your own methodology through that, which is, options can be so complex, but at the same time, so simple. And this is the path that you have to find. What you also find out there with options is that there's kind of these religious camps that live out there. There's the Chicago guys that have come off the trading floor. And if you go out to the CBOE, you won't find one single chart. In fact, I think they're banned on the floor of the CBOE. Everything is done through statistical analysis. Everything is based on numbers. And so everybody is walking around saying probability of success, delta, gamma, vega, theta, those kind of things. And that's one camp out there. That's one sort of religion in terms of trading options. The other religion in terms of trading options is obviously those that believe in technical analysis, those that believe that they can find edge in a chart. Now, I think at any given time, one or two of those will act. But to me, I think this game of trading is all about finding edge and not turning away any edge at all. So I've never been one to say, oh, charts belong at the bottom of the ocean, those kind of things with all the other sunken ships. I will also use statistics in my trading, probability of success, probability of touching, anything that I can get to give me an edge over the next trader in a trade. So generally, I'm doing something similar to what Wally is doing. I'm only trading the biggest and the best within that actually do trade weekly options. So it's a very limited subset, which I find gives me a much higher expectancy for that. So that's my favorite asset class. But I will say in passing here is that I am absolutely obsessed trading futures. I love trading futures. So I do trade options for a living, but man, I love the future.
Thank you so much, Doc. I love trading futures as well. And I think that everybody that started into the, started their trading career or trading stocks at one point or another have found a really great safe haven into trading futures. And I'm going to tell you why I like to trade futures and why. And, just like David said, it's just like, you know, you have to pick a favorite, a favorite kid. So that's going, I am 50% stocks and 50% futures. The reason why I love trading futures is because you have a really good hands-on approach to trading, because they are open 24 hours a day, close to 24 hours a day. And you have a really good management. You could have a really good management in place in this 24-hour market. So if the price is moving rapidly in one direction or another, you are not going to have any kind of surprises for gaps up or gaps down if you were trading stocks. So you can manage your position in the overnight. Plus, it's a really great vehicle. They're very, very, they're volatile, obviously, in volatile conditions. They become even more volatile than stocks. Sometimes a bad thing about trading futures, and that would be a con for trading futures, is that the risk level tends to be very elevated, and especially if you're trading full size contracts, in especially very volatile market in a very volatile market environment. But of course, we have the biggest advantage of also trading with micros, where even smaller account size traders can participate in. Last year, the CME has launched the a really nice suite of futures indices and of micro futures indices, and they provide you a great alternative to the full size contract. And they are amazing because you can position size with using these micros. Other than that, you know, in volatile conditions, you know, there is a lot of weight for one contract. There's a lot of weight for one contract. So I could totally see why, you know, a lot of traders blow their accounts, you know, using the full size contract, because they do not have the necessary, you know, do not have the sufficient information to assess the market. They see the potential setup, and they get into the setup without really assessing the risk for the trade. So I love trading futures because we have a good handle in the overnight trading session. Plus, you have a plethora of opportunities when trading futures. It's not only about trading the indices, but you have access to the oil markets, to the gold markets. And again, it's that 24-hour access that gives you a lot of opportunities. Plus, you have a lot of, you know, a lot of commodities, bonds, etc. So currency and currency pairs. So you have a lot of alternatives to trading stocks. Now, I only like to day trade the futures indices, but I do swing trade commodities. So I do swing trade oil. In fact, we had a swing trade in oil the other day. Actually, yesterday. Well, actually, we initiated the trade the other day, but it so happened to continue in yesterday's trading session. Obviously, we didn't get the whole bold move to the upside because we trailed it ahead of time based on our technicals, but you can have a really great hands-on approach. And in fact, you know, a lot of setups that are happening into the futures market, a lot of great opportunities with lower risk than the New York trading session are occurring into the London session, and sometimes even into the Asian session. And the market is very liquid, very, very liquid. And it's really a great vehicle to trade. And on the other hand, I love to trade stocks. And because I started with stocks, and I started being an equities trader, and I still love swing trading stocks. I do not day trade anymore because I have shifted 100% my day trading, my income producing, towards day trading futures. It's so much easier when you're only focused on 6 to 8 charts instead of scanning through hundreds of stocks. So I just I simplified my life that way. But I do love to swing trade stocks, and I am very patient in selecting my trades. I think 10 times before entering a trade. I am really looking for the best opportunity for that specific stock. So I have a whole lot of criteria before I enter a trade. So I am torn 50-50 futures and stocks, and I gave you the reason why. Okay. All right, we're going to jump into the next question. And the next question is, what is your trading style and what is your preferred time frame? And David, I'm going to start with you.
Absolutely. So I'm going to guess I'm probably the long-term participant on the panel. So I tend to think in a couple different time frames. But, you know, for me, long-term means a couple years. And for me, short-term means a couple days to a couple weeks. And so for me, I pay a lot of attention to the short-term environment, even shorter than that, looking, you know, minute to minute as a way of understanding how the flickering ticks of the moment are sort of building into the bars and the price data that I'm going to pay attention to. I've met a lot of people, if you're familiar with Brian Shannon's work, he's at Alpha Trends, wrote a great book on multiple time frame analysis, so I think it was really, really good, and described the value of combining those different time frames. So I find not enough long-term investors pay attention to the short-term color, and I find not enough short-term investors pay attention to the long-term structural trends, because both of us, regardless of what time frame you're operating on, you're always going to be, you're impacted, you're influenced by those other time frames. One of the charts I always like to show in my presentations, I didn't show when I just spoke earlier, so sorry about that, but showing a long-term sort of cycle, like a little sine curve, and then showing how that cycle, if that's where you're trying to trade, and you're trying to buy low and sell high over a certain hypothetical time frame, there's also one larger cycle that you're being influenced by, and there's always one shorter cycle that you're being influenced by. And so I think recognizing where your time frame fits into those other ones, I think is really, really important. You know, so for me, I tend to be looking out, you know, a couple weeks to a couple months is sort of my sweet spot. So I'm really trying to anticipate inflection points and really more so, play trends, play momentum around that time frame. And I'll finish off just by saying I've spoken and written a lot about the use of technical analysis on those different timeframes. And if there's one, not to call it a rookie mistake, but one thing I think people struggle with as they're learning technical analysis is thinking of it as a one size fits all sort of methodology. And if you look at the data, if you look at how equities, for example, actually play out, or if you're a short-term trader, if you're a couple minutes, even out to a couple days, couple weeks, you should be focused on mean reversion, right? It's not a trend following timeframe. It's much more about mean reversion. So your toolkit should represent that by looking for overbought and oversold conditions and looking for extremes in ratios and in price movements, because that's what's going to tell you when, you know, there's been overreaction, which happens a lot on that short-term time frame. If you're a medium term, what I would call medium term, which is really a couple months to a couple years. So if you're in like the 3, 6, 12 month time frame, which might be at the longer end of a lot of people watching, you really should be more of a trend follower, because that's what the data actually represents. And all the work that's been done, any quantitative shop or investors I've worked with, they always have a momentum factor as part of their models. And it usually is really simplistic, and it's something like 12-month returns minus 1-month returns or something like that. And it's basically combining those first two time frames. So it's a strong long-term trend and a weaker short-term trend. So it's sort of buying on the dips, right? A good consistent trend, but in the short term, it's pulled back a little bit. And if you combine this with that, the research on the data going back decades proves out that that's sort of how equities work. And that's why the momentum factor continues to work. That's why I would argue technical analysis works on that time frame, because trends persist on that time frame, even though we have now learned more and more about it. So that is my long answer. My short-term answer is I'm looking out a couple weeks to a couple months. I consider myself a trend follower. So I'm very focused on the short-term, you know, day-to-day movements in stocks, only in the way that it helps me frame out what those longer-term trends are. So in this sort of environment, more than ever, I think paying attention to how the market reacts to positive and negative news flow is really, really key.
Thank you, David. Wally, what is your trading style and what is your preferred time frame, your zip code, where you find those really nice, juicy, high liquidity trades?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll start by saying, the way I approach the market is slightly different, at least, you know, just from a logic perspective. And the short answer is I'm more swing trade, long-term investor, kind of like David mentioned earlier. So the smallest time frame I focus on is the daily chart. I don't go past the daily chart. I prefer being on the weekly and the monthly chart. And but we use everything from the daily chart all the way to the quarterly chart. Now, most people don't even look at the quarterly chart at all, but we look at the quarterly chart. We analyze data on the quarterly chart. The predominant one that we analyze stayed on is on the monthly chart. And the reason why was, you know, we got to a point where we realized, you know, earnings season comes out every quarter. And I noticed how all these companies that we trade, they all come out with a, you know, whether they met their expectations or they didn't. And I was always curious, it's like, how can they know what to expect? And, you know, one of the two biggest things you find during earnings seasons that most people are listening for is, did they meet expectations and what are their future guidance, the forward guidance, okay? And I always thought, I said, wow, how do they anticipate the forward guidance? Why is it that they know what they're going to do 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now? And it hasn't even happened, but they have ways of saying, hey, this is what we expect. And I realized that, you know, it's just an expectation. It's a guidance. It's not guaranteed. But at the end of the day, they project what they think they can do over the next 6 months. And then they say, oh, let's see if we did it. And then when the earnings comes out, if they met that expectation or they surpassed the expectation, the stock gaps up. Everybody now starts talking about it, wants to jump into that stock. And if they did not meet expectations, then the stock gaps down. People say, boo, they don't want to trade the stock and all that stuff. But what was unique about me observing that was all these CEOs would always come out and they would make a forward guidance. And so I started asking people, I said, well, why is it that we traders and investors don't have a forward guidance? It's like, you can ask anybody, you know, a lot of people will talk about, you know, what they did last month and what they did last year, but very few people you meet with say, this is what I expect to do in the next 3 months. This is what I expect to do in the next 6 months. And so when I started really thinking about that, it's like, is that even possible for us traders, individual traders and investors, to actually start anticipating and have a guidance? And again, it's just a guidance, it's an estimate. It's, this is what I expect to do in the next 3 months, next quarter. Then it literally changed the way we started trading. And that's why we started looking more at the bigger timeframes and why I focused more on the monthly timeframes, because I said, look, I want to find stocks that are setting up on the monthly time frame where with reasonable expectation over the next 3 months, we know it can produce this type of return based on what it's currently doing and just looking at technical analysis. And so every quarter, so like right now, our goal is that by the middle of the first month of each quarter, we set our forward guidance for the quarter and the next quarter. So the next two quarters. So we already have an idea of what we're going to do this quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter. And so the question is, well, what stocks are going to be setting themselves up to help us see what we can do over the next quarter and the next this quarter and the next quarter? And so for that, we realized that the monthly chart is usually the best type of charts to look at to kind of give us that, as well as the weekly. And then now that we are doing even a little bit more projections into, like, we want to see what's going to happen for the year, we started switching to the quarterly. But for now, we have been very, very successful with just anticipating what our quarter would be, what our next quarter, like at least the current quarter and the following quarter, anticipating and having a guidance as to what we'll do. And then every earnings season, when earnings season comes out, we go back and reevaluate how did we do for the quarter. So we don't necessarily focus on how we do each day. We look at what we're doing in a month, kind of adjust things along the way. But the real goal is to see, did we meet our expectations for the quarter, just like every other company that we trade and we follow are doing. And so for that reason, the answer is monthly, weekly, predominantly, no lower than the daily chart. And now we're also looking into the quarterly chart as well.
Yeah, I find that I'm also watching the quarterly charts. They provide a whole lot of information, and especially at the end of the quarter. So I just looked at these quarterly charts about 2 days ago. Uh-huh. And they have a really interesting structure. You could get so much out of them, and
absolutely,
you know, you build your conviction.
Absolutely,
and David, yeah, and I'm pretty sure David can agree with you as well. So we can have a lot of conviction.
100%.
Yeah, the quarterly chart, like when I started looking at the quarterly chart, it blew my mind, and mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that it did was it brought calm and confidence. And
exactly.
All that intraday or daily ups and down of the market, I didn't have to worry about that anymore, realizing that, wow, you know, there's going to be volatility. It's almost as if somebody who's looking at a daily chart and is worrying about what happens every single tick. You know, I had people back then, it's like the market opens at 9:30. Oh my gosh, the market is going up. The market's going up. It's going to be a good day. And then at 9:31, oh my gosh, the market has dropped again. And then 9:32, oh my gosh, it's going up again. 9:33, it's dropped again. It's like, you would drive yourself crazy going that way, exactly. Right? And so the quarterly chart was just on a bigger time scale. email, and it's like, oh my gosh, look at this setup. You mean to tell me I can sit down here in the next 3-6 months, as long as the monthly and the weekly chart is doing well, don't panic? Wow. It was total mind changer for us over here.
Exactly. It is. And you don't have to worry, like up, down. And then at the end of the day, wow, like what happened yesterday, at the end of the day, we had that 330 ramp that ran into the close.
Exactly.
The price ran into the close in the indices. Yeah, exactly. So Rob, we're going to ask you the same question. What is your trading style and what is your preferred time frame?
Okay, so the trading style, I'm going to say Apex's trading style, but I really guess I have to say it's mine, right? Because I developed the quant, I developed the algorithm for it. So my original trading style was entirely contrarian, and that usually bit me in the derriere a few times because I'd be looking for retracements and they'd never come, and you know, I should have been following the trend. And anyway, the funds that are in place at the moment, I'm trading about $100,000 at the moment, and it was provided by a hedge fund that liked what I was up to and just threw some money at me to see what this could do. The reason why I bring them up is because they're the ones that convinced me to start trend following, start to wake up, and the trend is your friend, and you know, program that in, let's see what happens. I did that, I guess, luckily, very luckily for me, I did that before the crash happened in February. And because of that, the system quickly turned around right after the crash and provided a 2% drawdown when NASDAQ took off to about 32% and actually made a profit in March. It was a little over 1% up. And the reason why is I started to put together the trend following. And the other reason is you asked me about the timelines. Normally I swing trade and I really don't want to be holding anything longer than 9 trading days. And I'll explain why in a second. But normally I'm swing trading and that's what I'm doing. And I'm looking to about that timeline. But the system itself doesn't just look at the forest and the trees. It looks at the grass as well, because in that split second, it's looking back about 6 months of data. And at the same time, it's looking back about a week or two. And it's looking at the volume histogram to take a look at where the proper support and resistance is on several different timelines at once. And when I say the grass, it's because it's also looking back about 3 or 4 seconds to see what it was doing. So when you look at the volume histogram, if you ever take a look at that, and I'm playing with Interactive Brokers, you can take a look, it's on the side of the chart. If you look at that and you turn it on its side, what you're looking at is a bell curve. And what's very interesting is you can use that to project where support and resistance is. But the problem is you need a lot of horsepower to do that, a lot of computing power to do that in the moment, to do the projection. And that's one of the tricks that Apex has up its sleeve. That's what it does. It figures out the projection of support and resistance based on that bell curve, okay? And based on several timelines all at once. So I guess to answer your question, there are several different timelines I'm looking at. I am no longer doing just a contrarian investment, looking for retracements. And that's really helped things a lot tremendously. I've been a little nervous because, you know, normally I'm getting in and I'm holding on to $1,000 or $2,000 as a base risk out of, it dips its toe in the water out of getting into a trade for 10,000 or something like that. But it very quickly ramps up to the winning trades very, very quickly now. And that's why, you know, as I talk to you, NASDAQ is down 2.19% and Apex is, I think it's up a third of a percent at the moment for the day. It's because of the follow along trading. So I'm going to fill in one last gap. I mentioned about this 9-day hold. This account has leverage. I have 100,000 to play with, but I can actually get into 500,000 or so, 300,000 to 500,000 if I wanted to. I never have. And the reason why is I would rather do the time leverage on the account. And what that means is I really don't want to hold a trade longer than 9 days. And if I can get into that $100,000 twice over the month, you have an average of about 20 trading days in the month. So if I get into it and I hold the money out there for 9 days and I get back into it another 9 days and I make 1% on my 100,000 every time the money goes out there, then I've actually made 2% on the 100,000. So it's a time leverage thing that I'm doing. And in fact, the average hold time that Apex is up to at the moment is more like 3 to 4 days. So I'm probably getting in and out of the money 3 or 4 times a month. I don't know if I answered your question or not. I went off in 20 different directions. So you'll have to tell me.
No, you did. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you so much, Rob. Doc, what is your preferred trading style and your zip code, your preferred time frame? Where do you execute your trades in your system?
All right. Well, thank you, Anka. I think everybody eventually over time will find their own system, everything that makes sense to them. And something that made sense to me after a while is very similar similar to what David just talked about, which was multiple time frame. And over time, what I've found is a couple of things. So first of all, I've got to boil down to almost three rules, and I use the same system on everything, whether or not it's swing trades, whether it's long-term holds, or whether it's even futures trading. And it dramatically simplifies all my trade management, all my decisions, and everything like that. Because to me, life is a fractal, like somebody in the discussion or the chat just mentioned. So number one would be is that larger time frames dominate the trend. Rule number two would be reversals, which we're all looking for, actually come from the inside out. The reversals start from the smallest time frames and then propagate higher. And so having that sort of outside in, inside out approach based on price action and multiple time frames gives me some very, very accurate reads on what's happening with the market, or I'm able to say, well, if it moves above this price, this is what's about to happen. So I'm not in the business of predicting the future, just more reacting to what the price is actually doing in the midst of those multiple time frames. Now, the third rule that I go by is, I determined after a while that this whole notion of overbought and oversold just doesn't work anymore in the world of QE. It just doesn't exist anymore, where you've got funds throwing momentum dollars at a stock, regardless of how overbought it is. And so what I did grab onto was this notion of range expansion leads to range contraction. And then obviously the converse of that, range contraction leads to range expansion as well. And so the formation of these three rules is what I call fractal energy trading. And as a book that I just wrote and came out with last month, probably the worst time possible to release a book was during the crash, but there it is. You can't time these things. But I use that on swing trades of usually about 30 days or less is what I try to execute these. I try to be as precise as possible in terms of the entry, because to me, hold time is risk, as we can see lately. Hold time is risk. So anytime that you're sitting there holding a trade, anything can happen overnight and often does. So my philosophy on trades is if I'm in a trade, I want to get out of it because I just want to get my fair share and get out of the trade. And that goes all the way, whether it's trading options, whether it's just a couple of days, perhaps 2 to 3 weeks at the most. And then that also goes towards futures, where I trade tick charts on the futures. And my specialty is the NASDAQ. And I'm using 6875, a 1375, and a 275 tick series. So I use those three charts in conjunction with each other. I use the anchor chart as being the 6875 tick chart. Want to trade in the direction of that particular chart swing, and then use the 275 tick chart to make the most precise entry that I can to either mean revert or go with the trend. And that's it.
Awesome, Doc. Thank you so much for your input. And because I'm a day trader and also a swing trader, I also dab into active investing. Obviously, I have a longer term account. So I definitely trade a plethora of time frames. So as a trading style, I have two main trading styles. It is the day trading, and that is an income producing style of trading. I have the longer-term trading style, which is swing trading and active investing, and that is the wealth generation style. Literally, when you're day trading, you have access to your money on a day-to-day basis. But when you swing trade, you pretty much have that account that's locked in for a longer period of time. Whether you're swing trading, my typical swing trades last anywhere from about 2 days to about 2 weeks. And my active investing trades, they can even last for years. And I think that pretty soon, I mean, nobody can determine an exact time, but I think that we will come into a point where obviously, this whole coronavirus pandemic is going to slow down and it's going to fade ultimately. This is what we all hope, and sooner rather than later. And when this is going to be all said and done, there is going to be a plethora of opportunities our way for long term. So that is where I would start initiating some really good positions. So as far as time frames, because I am a day trader, I am going to give you my honest opinion. I think that you have to be an extremely astute trader in order to trade very small time frames, such as the 1 minute or the 2 minute, where sometimes I do base my trades in normal market conditions, not in volatile market conditions. And I find that in volatile market conditions, you definitely have to have a really good bias on your trading session and on your, obviously, the bias for the trading day, which and where conditions may change from one day to another. My general zip code is the 15-minute chart. That would be my preferred time frame. If you have enough time, if you trade a 15-minute chart, you have enough time to assess the risk, to do all your calculations. But if you're a scalper and if you base your trading only on the 1-minute chart or the tick chart, it's going to literally burn you out. I mean, this is my honest opinion. And I have been a day trader for many years, for more than 17 years. I have been actively day trading. And for about 10 years, when I started day trading, I was trading the whole entire day, and I was scalping, I was doing all sorts of strategies. But definitely, when I look at the higher time frames, I know that some of you guys in here have mentioned it already. At the end of each quarter, I always look at quarterly charts. I make notations. I make alerts on those quarterly charts because I don't watch them on a day-to-day basis. And for my swing trades, aggressive swings are always going to be initiated on the 4-hour to a daily chart. And I would also love to go with the trend from the weekly charts. So those are my preferred time frames. All right, we do still have a plethora of questions, but we're going to go very quickly, just in a couple of words. I'm going to start with you, David. Just tell us where traders can find you and if you have a special offer.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks again for hosting the panel and hosting a great event. It's been fun to hear from everyone, to be honest with you. You can find me a couple places. My website's called marketmisbehavior.com, so you're welcome to check that out. I have links to my YouTube channel there as well. And then, as I mentioned in my presentation earlier, I host our daily Closing Bell show on Stock Charts TV. So go to stockcharts.com/TV and you'll see my show there. It should be running here at 6:00 Eastern tonight. Thanks again very much, everyone.
Thank you so much, David. And by the way, I love your show on Stock Charts TV. Love it. I highly recommend it to everyone. It
thank you.
I do. I watch it. I watch it every time.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Anka. Thanks.
Yeah. Wally, where can traders find you? And do you have a special offer?
Yes. So traders can definitely find us on rightsidetrading.com. I posted that in the link right there. But rightsidetrading.com is our link. And, the special offer is basically to have access to the software that we have right now. It's at $97 a month if they want to like take it. Basically, the software just kind of helps you with technical analysis on, buying, holding, placing stops on a day-by-day basis based on what the chart is showing for that particular stock. So rightsidetrading.com is where you go.
Thank you, Wally. Rob, where can traders find you and do you have a special offer?
Yes, traders can find me at https.apex.tech. That's AIPEX.tech. And on there, you can subscribe for a year to follow along with the trades made by the AI and the prospects selected each night. You will get them before the market opens. The annual for this is $300 a year. And yes, there's a further 5% off from that discounted price. The normal rate is $30 a month, so it's a little bit and then discounted price. The one offer on this is after you sign up, at the moment, the account is at negative 0.93%. When we finally hit positive, your anniversary date gets cast in stone. But until then, each month that we're negative, I keep moving that anniversary date out. So you could be paying for a year, you could be paying for 12 months. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get to positive. But really, at this pace, I think it's in the next day or two. Anyway.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
That's fantastic, Rob.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Doc, where can traders find you? And do you have a special offer?
We do. Our website is readyset.trade. So it's not readysettrade.com. It's readyset.trade. If you go to the checkout or one of our services, you can use code WIZARD for today's session and get 20% off for life on that service. Or you can just go to readyset.trade/wizard and join our free Discord community. Kind of kick the tires and see what we're all about first.
Thank you so much, Doc. So my turn. If you guys want to get a hold of me, if you're interested in day trading or swing trading, Please visit our website. It is tradeoutloud.com. We also provide trading education for short term and futures and medium term, like in swing trading futures. And also we provide education for stock day trading and stock swing trading and active investing. So if you're interested on that, head on to our website or shoot us an email at info@tradeoutloud.com. Thank you so much. It has been a fantastic panel. I can't wait to do this again.